Today on Real Radio.
If you are serving in your church, wherever that may be, and you're doing it for the pastor, or you're doing it for the leadership, or you're doing it for something, I guarantee you right now, you will get hurt.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called United in the Gifts. This examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, is a section that mentions various spiritual gifts believers have received and are to exercise. Now, this same Paul wrote about these gifts elsewhere in his letters, which we'll also look at. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing with United in the Gifts.
Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ." Isn't that exciting? "And members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then the gifts of healings," plural by the way, "the gift of helps," plural, "and the gift of administrations," or governments, as it's spoken of in some of your Bibles. The gift of governments, the ability to lead. We saw how that word means one who pilots a vessel, one that steers a ship. Kubernesis is the word. It appears in this way only once in all of the New Testament. Two times in the noun version, which is of a Latin derivative, which means one who governs the ship, found in Revelation as the shipmaster. And then again in the book of Acts, remember when Paul's boat ride was beginning to break up? And the scripture there makes reference to the helmsman or the pilot or the shipmaster, the one who steers the ship and negotiates the ship through troublesome waters. The word is governments or administration. It means that a church, if governed by God, is to have a form of government that allows it to navigate troublesome waters and in difficult times. Listen, that's what the church has been engineered to do. The church is designed to carry the believer through this world into glory. And I know that many have come from backgrounds and church experiences that have devastated your hearts. I get mail all the time. I get letters. I get things from people who say, "I love coming to Calvary. I like what's going on, but I'm afraid that something's going to go wrong, or I'm afraid to get involved because of what happened at my other church or wherever you came from." I hear it a lot. And I want you to understand something right now. If you are serving in your church, wherever that may be, and you're doing it for the pastor, or you're doing it for the leadership, or you're doing it for something, I guarantee you right now, you will get hurt. You will be hurt. Because you are not to be led in ministry to the service and to the approval of men, but you are to be led in ministry, if it's true ministry, that will point you to Jesus Christ. That what you do is for the glory of the Lord and not any man or any group of men or leaders. True godly leadership operating the gift of governments does not necessarily and only rest upon the pastor, though I think it should. It also rests upon godly men and even godly women in the body that God has you in. And that leadership should point you to Jesus moment by moment in all that they do. Very important. In fact, hold your finger here and go to Hebrews 13, verse 7. The author says, "Remember those who," look at the word, "rule over you. Doesn't that sound mean? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. The word rule here is to lead, to govern, to watch over, or to even shepherd. That means to feed you and to nourish you along. It doesn't mean to grab you by the ears and drag you along. Or it doesn't mean to grab the sheep by the ear and make him eat all of his vegetables or whatever it is, force feeding. It means to lead the lamb to the place where the feeding is right for a lamb. I think I told you this before. I'll never forget this, but on Sundays, they live too far away to come on Wednesdays, but on Sundays, Lazarus and his family come, and they live in Pasadena. And they make their pilgrimage every Sunday, and they're from India. And you may recognize them. They'll wear their traditional Indian apparel, and I love that. And they'll come, and I just love to hear them talk. Oh, Pastor Jack, how are you doing today? Fine, Lazarus, how are you? Oh, I'm just finding the Lord. The Lord is so good to me. I just love to hear him talk, and I just love the family. And I said, you know, why do you drive? There's a church down the street from your house. Oh, you know why we come. Because when the grass grows, the sheep come and eat. So we like to eat here. And I just loved that. I thought that was so cool, and I've never forgotten that. So, you know, often when I'm preparing a message, I'm saying, Lord, give me grass. Give me just, you know, bushels full. True godly leadership should be committed to the nurturing of the flock, and that is done through laboring in the word. Stay in Hebrews 13, look a little further down, and verse 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Sounds mean, doesn't it? For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would not be profitable for you. Can you imagine? I'm the pastor of this church, and you better straighten up, you. That's not how it should be. The pastor shouldn't be some kind of a, you know, grump. The minister should minister with joy. It is pretty frightening. What is it, James 3, that talks about let not many of you be teachers because you're going to receive the greater judgment on Judgment Day? Oh, that's great. I mean, I already got my thing lined up. Lord, I didn't ask to do this. You've laid this thing on me. So go gentle now, you know? But he says here, obey them. Why? Because if they're godly, they're concerned about what you hear, what you do, what your final outcome will be, because it's going to be a reflection of their ministry. It's important. And whatever happens under any ministry that you're involved in, you will, I hope, you know, I get so misunderstood every time I say this. I just did the other week, and somebody was very hurt, and they totally misunderstood me. It's my heart's desire that you be fed in such a way that if God calls you away, you'll be equipped and able to go away in boldness, with knowledge, to go do what God's called you to do. I got a letter saying, oh, are you telling us to go away? No. But I do believe that if you're well fed, some, maybe many of you, will go away and start ministries. I love that idea. I think God does that. When I read the book of Acts, I see that happening. It's so important. So, when the scripture says that we are to remember those who rule over you, and then we are to obey those who rule over us, the context should be love. If whatever church you attend, that pastor or that ministry staff or that leadership is very condescending, that is, they're coming down hard on you, Why don't you do this? How come you're not liking? How you've been here a year. Why aren't you? Hey, can you imagine a farmer who plants a field? And he puts the seed in the ground and the sunshine comes up and he comes out there and he's looking for the little sprout and it's there. Comes back the next day. Hey, come on, come on. You're only like an eighth of an inch taller now. He waters it, fertilizes it, comes back a week later. Hey, what's going on? And then, you know, begins to slap and hit this little reed, you know, this little thing growing. You'll never get fruit out of it. You may knock the snot out of it, but you'll never get the fruit out of it. The Bible says that a smoking flask he will not quench, and a bruised reed God will not break. Are you broken? Is your life just kind of dry and dusty and kind of dead? Have you taken a fall? Have you fallen down in your Christian experience or your walk with the Lord? Have you sinned? There are ministries that will come up and say, what's the matter with you? How come? And begin to slap you about the head and face. Sin is wrong. God has given us the Holy Spirit that we not fall. But we do fall. To say we don't is to actually call God a liar. To go out and intentionally sin is to not be a Christian. We deceive ourselves. But when we fall, what does God do to you? Does God say, get back up, come on. Let's get going. Let's get right and let's get moving on and let's grow. Or do we do that thing we do? And I think I'm going to write a book on this someday because I'm the best at this thing. When I fall down, I'd make a great Muslim. Because when I fall down, in my mind, I get a chain. And I just begin to, oh, I'm so bad. Oh, my bad. And I begin to flog myself doing my penance, doing my payment for my sin. And you see, if I beat myself enough, then I feel a little bit better. And you know, that's a blasphemy to God. It's not right. True ministry should pick up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 tells us that those of us who are spiritual ought to restore a brother or a sister who's taken a fall, not shoot them. Walter Martin said, Christians are so strange. They're the only ones I know of that shoot their own wounded. Today, driving home on the freeway, there was this horrible accident. We counted at least three, possibly more, but three bodies that were thrown from the wreckage, two of them at least 100 feet away from the car. And it had just happened, and their bodies were in the sand, in the dirt, quivering and shaking. They were in horrible condition. I immediately got a telephone and called the highway patrol, and you know, they didn't know it had happened. It was just right there, and they began to roll all this stuff on the way, and it was just so sad and terrible. Now, can you imagine driving by, stupid, what'd you do that for? You were probably speeding. Isn't that cruel? Yet someone in the church falls down, and what do people want to do? It's almost like the legalist gets jollies at a pointing the finger when someone's down. Walter Martin says that the church often shoots its own wounded. That ought not to be. That's wrong. The gift of governments or administrations is the applying or the application of a person or people who have God's concerns furthermost in their hearts and minds, and they are used in ministry to benefit the body that all might profit. If it, this is my opinion, I think it's totally right on. If ministry is other than that, then how dare we call it ministry? Is the Christian church a hospital? Yes. Or is it an aerobics club? Is it a place for nurturing and growth? Or is it a fitness center for the elite? The church is a place where the people of the world who have been crushed by the world come in, find forgiveness and love and strength and power in the Word of God and in the fellowship of His people and in prayer, and get rehabilitated, first of all, in the most important place, and that's the heart. And they have a true relationship with God, and then they go out, and from there, true ministry flows out. To do it any other way, I think is wrong. And then he says in Hebrews 13, down at verse 24, greet all those who rule over you. Three times he uses that word rule, which means to lead. And in the gift of governments, it is the gift of leading God's way, God's style. As Gail Irwin would say, Jesus' style. And it's always good to ask, how would Jesus do something? You'll never go wrong by doing that. And you always wonder, you know, how would Jesus handle this? You ever drive by that place over there on Central or Mountain? And I don't know what the crossroad is. It's that nightclub thing. And, you know, what would you do? What, you know, people drive by there, and they either look to see if they recognize anybody's car in the parking lot, or they like drive by and turn their back completely away. But I wonder how many Christians, in fact, let's start doing it from now on. Let's drive by there and say, Lord Jesus, first of all, save those naked women that are in there. Save them. Dry that place up. Save those girls. Then start saving those guys that are going in there. What would Jesus do? See, we'll drive by to see if we recognize a car in the parking lot to see who we can catch. Or we'll turn our back because I can't be defiled. I won't even look in that direction. Pulling our robe real tight and keep driving by. Or we can say, Lord, save them. Lord, help. Those people in that place are the most sad and miserable people. Bound up, shamed, hurt, justifying everything they do. Well, the reason why I'm here, it's because they're hurting. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I don't know. What would you think Jesus would do if he came in contact with a prostitute? Well, the Bible talks about that. What would Jesus do if he came in contact with the IRS agent? Jesus talks about that, or the Bible talks about that. What would Jesus do if he came in contact with a self-righteous priest? The Bible talks about that. In true leadership and in a true church, those who are ministering and listen, those who are not, but our Christians will ask the question of themselves, what would Jesus do right now? What would Jesus do here? And we need to do that as a body. We talked last week that true biblical leadership is a theocracy. Remember that? Remember we talked about like the congregational rule? By the way, every time there's a congregational rule shown in the scriptures, it usually leads to disaster. We made mention of it where congregational rule, where you'd get all 2,000 people in the building together and say, what color do we want the sanctuary painted next week? You know how long it will take to to come to a decision. What color should the carpet be? You know, churches split over those things. David Hawking was at a church back east. And he was preaching a four-day series on prophecy. And he was speaking this message, and the first day he felt, boy, is this place cold. But he thought he'd just power through it. And when you're as big as David Hawking, you can power through things. Second day, man, is it tough here. So he grabbed the pastor and he said, listen, there's something wrong in your church. And the pastor says, well, you know what? We are struggling over the monumental decision of what color to paint the basement of the church. And he says, this church has almost gone to blows over this very topic. And David Hawking says, do you mind if I talk to the people about it before I speak again? He said, well, go right ahead. It's about ready to fall apart anyway over this. Third night, David Hawking stands up and says, before we get into the service tonight, does anybody in here paint? Are there any painters here? And this old man, David Hawking said, this guy must have been 90 years old. He stood up and he goes, I paint? Do you have about, whatever he said, 15 gallons of white paint? Sure do. He says, I want you to paint tomorrow the basement of this church white. Now let's get on with the message. And he said the whole place was silent and their eyes were bulging open. And like, who's he to make this decision? And Hawking said, look, this man's willing to paint the church. He's got some white paint to do it with. You've been bickering and griping about what color it ought to be. This guy's going to do it. And let it be his service to the body, because obviously, by the age of the man, it could be his last service that he does to the body. Let's go on with the study. That pastor wrote David Hawking back a couple months later. He says, you saved our church. Isn't that insane?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series of studies called United in the Gifts. It's an in-depth examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, and of course other biblical passages that speak of the various spiritual gifts believers have received and exercise for edification and for the glory of Messiah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, February is knocking on our door, and we've told you about the Southern California Prophecy Conference that takes place then here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California. And just in case you haven't heard, Pastor Jack is here to fill you in on what might be called breaking news.
Mike, that is absolutely correct. And this is vital. It is breaking news. And listen, to all of you who are thinking about coming to the conference, our original fee for this conference to make it viable, to make it work, was $50 a ticket for this three-day event. But in light of the global crisis and what's taking place and all of the events that are starting to come together, we prayed about it here at Calvary Chapel, and we're going to trust the Lord. We're deleting that price, Mike. It's free. It's open to the public. We want as many people here hanging out the building as possible to get these incredible teachings into their hearts. And so it is vital. All of you, make note, the $50 registration is waived. No registration needed. Be here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills as we host the Southern California Prophecy Conference. In fact, listen to this. The subtitle of the conference is Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. How fitting is that? You can get more information about that at SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll want to attend this free event for your faith. God bless you.
Okay, well, again, you can visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.